us continue. Amen. The glorious body of Christ, the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we get through in a few weeks, we will not even have scratched the surface concerning the body of Christ. Oh, my God. To just think. Hallelujah. God could love the creature before he even creates it. Hallelujah. He would bless us. He would give us, amen, such high privileges and position and favor us above all. And then he designed us according to these decrees and the specifications that are therein. We are blessed people this morning. All right? Let us go to our main scripture, our base scripture, I should say, Galatians. We will read this each time. And this is where we started with our spring from our, and used as our springboard. Let's go to the 26th verse of the third chapter of Galatians. Then we will rapidly move into Colossians chapter 1. We had our context there in Colossians in that first chapter, is 15th through the 20th verse. And we had progressed down to the 19th verse. And there are some more nuggets I want to dig out of there this morning. Amen. And we will progress on. Hopefully by spring we will have exhausted this, but if not, there is no mandate. There's no time limit on this. Amen. And I pray that no one has gotten tired of us talking about the body of Christ. Amen. There's something seriously wrong with a child of God who reaches the point where they have become weary hearing about the body of Christ. This is where God has eternally placed you. Amen. This is your abode. This is your dwelling place. I can't think of anything that is more important than where you have been placed. You are in the body of Christ.
Yes,
anytime you see that term in Christ, it is speaking of our son position, our placement, amen, as sons, as members of his body, as those who have been given the very nature of God.
Right.
This is why it is so important to understand Jesus is, that Jesus is the head of his body. And the body takes on the attributes and the characteristics of the head. And for us to appreciate, amen, the blessing that engenders, we must understand that Jesus is God. I'm still amazed as I listen to some of the ministering, even some of the radio commentary and forums where they have their Christians are even debating the impeccability of Jesus. Amen. Oh, my God. And it only brings to light the confusion that arises when you begin to separate the Godhead into components. Amen. Jesus is God. The Son is God. The Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not three persons. Three persons. When you say three persons, you're saying three beings. God is one. Amen. And I know that you're in the company of the majority of Christendom, that teach the Trinity. But if the Trinity is forcing the impression that the Godhead is divided up into three persons, meaning three beings, then it is an erroneous assertion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we will deal with that. We will continue to deal with that, because to really appreciate what you are as a member of his body, you must fully understand who Jesus is.
Ooh, he is.
Amen. He is every good God.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll deal with this word, pleroma, this morning, that is translated fullness, a full measure. What does it mean to be full? If the Godhead within itself and everything associated with it is expressed in the fullness of Jesus, amen, what is that saying? Because anything, anytime you say full or complete, that means there isn't anything else left.
Right.
So now if you're going to take a part of it and give to the Father, part to the Son, and part to the Holy Ghost, and say, hey, the big three all in one. And of course, it sounds, this is something that they've been debating for centuries. And of course, we're not going to waste any time debating with anyone concerning this. But no, we're going to be shy about the fact that we don't go along with the Trinity doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let us start off in our base scriptures. Gavin is our designated reader, but Deacon, you know what to do. Go to verses 26-29 and read that, amen, for the record's sake, and then we move into Colossians. Everybody got the third chapter of Galatians, verse 26, say amen. All right, read.
For ye are all the children of God,
mm-hmm,
by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Our Lord.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
According to the promise of justification by the faithfulness, through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And of course, if you look at the 14th verse, it explains that. Amen. Said that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
That is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
All right.
Amen. All right. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Contextual notification. Again, to the 15th. Verse and go through verse 20. Everybody got Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Say amen.
Yeah.
All right. Read.
Colossians 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
Now, notice here, he said who. He's talking about who?
Jesus.
All right. Go to verse 16.
For by him were all things created,
that
are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
All right, that becomes very important. When you say him, each time we see he and him in these passages, who are we talking about?
Jesus.
Talking about Jesus. That's very, 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 very important. All right? Verse 17.
And he is before all things.
Mm-hmm.
And by him all things consist.
Talking about who?
Jesus.
All right. Verse 18.
And he is the head of the body, the church.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That in all things he might have the preeminence.
He meaning who?
Jesus.
Verse 19.
For it pleased him.
So why would the Father be there? This is why you contextualize everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you notice Father is italicized. It doesn't belong there.
It doesn't belong there.
Amen. Somebody's afraid they're going to give Jesus too much credit.
Too much credit.
But you can't give Jesus too much credit. Mm-hmm. If you look inside the outlay of the message, and you look down through these verses, and every time there is the pronoun, aftos, afton, depending upon the declension, he, him, talking about Jesus. This is why it's so important to contextualize.
That's right.
So when you get to the 19th verse,
yes,
you can't reach out and say it pleased the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Just contextualize.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking, it's still talking about he or him, which is who?
Jesus.
But somebody's going to think that something is out of character to say that it pleased Jesus for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Now, you got problems if you don't know who Jesus is.
Right.
And there are those who debate certain things of who he is and the discussion of what his virtues were.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, amen, now this is crazy, but whether him being tempted means that it was a chance that he could have succumbed to temptation.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Huh? Oh, my God. This is one reason why we start dealing with any doctrine. We start in our gospel. In the confines and contents, I should say, of these words that are expressed from the heavenly view and the eternal vantage point of what God has laid out and decreed, it becomes crystal clear, amen, that Jesus is God. And he is every expression of the Godhead. And there is no apportionment of it to the point where one has any hesitation in ascribing everything, the entire gamut of what God is in Jesus. The full measure of all things. All right, finish reading that.
Verse 20?
Mm-hmm. No, well, read 19 again.
All right. For it pleased God.
So, for in him it was pleased.
Uh-huh. That,
uh-huh.
That in him should all fullness dwell.
So, he was pleased.
Uh-huh.
It pleased him
uh-huh.
that all the fullness should dwell.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's saying.
Uh-huh.
It pleased him
uh-huh.
that all the fullness should dwell.
Uh-huh.
Amen. You will have covered every basis, amen, when you give Jesus the praise
yeah,
and the glory.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Now, can I say, Father, yes, amen, manifestation-wise, this is all Israel knew.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to the point, and even though he had been prophesied, they did not understand, even though he came among them, and he dwelled, they still didn't understand. Amen. For John writes that he came among them, but they knew him not. Amen. But to everyone
that he calls himself, if you view it from my gospel, because John is stating it from, amen, the viewpoint of the information that is provided in the covenant.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We don't actually get the full understand
right.
of causation, of causality, until you get to our gospel. Amen. To see, amen, that from the beginning that God, amen, laid out to and he decreed everything that could happen and would happen and does happen is traced back to the decree of God, the master planner, amen, the mover and the shaker and the cause of all things.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So those whom he calls, amen, to receive him. And, of course, as we said Friday night, the gospel that is preached is not in itself what saves you.
All right.
You're saved by the gospel, but the gospel doesn't save you. You're saved by decree. Amen. Now, those who are saved by decree are the ones who receive the gospel. But they receive the gospel because God had decreed it, that they, the ones, the designated ones, were elected and chosen in him before the foundation of the world. If you believe it, it's because God had ordained you to believe it.
That's right.
Amen. We must take a determined and a definite stand, position wise, on this. Amen. And the scripture. More noticeably, the gospel of the grace of God, the revelation of the mystery, as given to the Apostle Paul, it outlays and it outlines, God's eternal plan, going back to the point when God is all by himself. Oh, my God. Nobody else around. Amen. To counsel him, even for him to confer with. God laid it out. He laid out everything. Oh, my God. And everything that is happening is in the manifestation mode of that which was actualized in the decree. Everything. Amen. There is nothing that is happening. And, of course, it starts with salvation. What we think about salvation. Amen. Is the basis of what we think about everything else.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And if you think that salvation is something that is left to chance, then of course you're going to think that everything concerning life is left to chance.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, my God.
But nothing in life.
Nothing.
Is left to chance. There are no accidents. An accident is an unplanned is an unplanned event. You say disappointment. Your and my disappointments are God's appointments. Amen. And what happened is your earnest expectation didn't align with what was decreed.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And Paul understood that. Yeah. And so he could say, I've learned to be content
what?
In whatever state I'm found. Amen. Because Paul understood that whatever was going down, it's just an incident on my way to my eternal, everlasting place of abode as a member of the body of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
why we're spending so much time on this.
All right now. All right.
We're not rushing through it.
All right.
If you only get a little tidbit of Sunday,
that's right.
We're going to take our time. Because there are challenges out there.
There are.
There are things out there that can make your life miserable.
Yeah.
If you don't understand.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So that thing that happened was no accident.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It was decreed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see, what will we? Yeah, read the 20th verse.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
All
right. Finish it out, and then we're going to the essence of our exegesis and our exposition this morning. Read.
Verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Amen. And we'll probably get to a portion of that today. That which is expressed there is in the manifestation mode.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the manifestation mode.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. The 19th verse we had begun last week, and here we take a look at it again from the Greek text. Here I'm going to give you the actual Greek reading. And
All right.
Again, as I said last week, you said, well, Pastor, we still don't know what you're saying because we don't understand the Greek. Well, amen. It's on record.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Who knows who will hear this message over the air, over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Some Greek scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That may hear it. But in a way, it's there for the record.
All right. All right.
And the fact that if you dare challenge King James, amen, you've set yourself up, amen, to a charge of heresy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you dare deviate from it.
Yeah.
There are those out there, amen, who somehow have a fix to the King James, the determinant seal of heaven, calling it, amen, the authorized version.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who authorized? Amen. It tells you who authorized it. You open it up. It said King James. It didn't even say King Jesus. It said King. Amen. And of course, I'm not here to try to trash the King James.
Oh, no.
Amen. But, amen, we want the intended cogitation of it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
What is conveyed.
Yeah.
So here, amen, again, it is OTing off to and focusing panto plerama kantisese, which is rendered literally, again, for because in him did please all the fullness to dwell. A tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Here again, for because this verse, as we said, is a continuation of the cogitation in the antecedent verses. So here it very clearly shows us that that the Father doesn't belong there, because everything in the preceding context is talking about Jesus.
Everything.
So here, everything in this entire context, amen, is documenting a supremacy and eminence of Christ being the first one. And this is basic to understanding that if you have him, you have it all, and we can ascribe to him the first place. And the supreme position in our lives. Here, follow me closely, the Greek verb "focusing" is rendered "pleased." It is an indicative aorist, or it is a factual past completed action. It denotes that in eternity, God, amen, was the light. You say, I thought you said Jesus. Yeah, I did say Jesus. I am changed. Amen. God was the light. Who is God? God is Jesus. That all the fullness was fully occupied in the essence of Jesus Christ. And, of course, this testifies to the basis and foundation of him being the first one. In this sense, all that has been previously stated about who Christ is and what he accomplished, it is summed up in the most significant phrase of the text, poncho plerima, rendered all the fullness. The key word in this phrase, as we said last week, is plerima, fullness. Completeness has the general connotation of being totally occupied, totally engulfed, totally complete, and of, amen, of a full and absolute measure. Here the most important consideration is whether or not the conveyance of this word denotes a specific meaning. Amen. And here, if we look at this and we begin to break down the etymology of this word, amen, and look closely at its origin, we'll come to the light of understanding that all things are expressed, and for the manifestation purpose, all things have been assigned to the expression of the Godhead that is in Jesus. Follow me now. Last week we went into Ephesians 1:23. We won't go back there again today, but it speaks about the church is Christ's body, and as refers to the fullness of him who is filling all in all. Amen. He is the fullness. He, amen, all in all. He is all in all. Amen. All in this case means all. All right. In Ephesians 3:19, we went through last week, Pastor Paul prays that all believers will be filled with the fullness of God. And then we were looking at this word that and phrase, the excelling knowledge. Knowledge that causes you to excel. Amen. Knowledge that causes you, amen, to understand. Have perfect knowledge and comprehension, amen, of what God is doing. Amen. And he has certainly blessed us this morning that we have this knowledge and comprehension. All of God's people don't. If you comprehend this morning, it's because God highly favors you, amen, to see the eternal workings of God, amen, as he is outlined and outlined and worked it out, amen, and as it is so, amen, placed within the decree of God. All right, so in that all believers will be filled with the fullness of God. In Ephesians 4:13, and I want you to stop and go there for a minute this morning, amen, he expresses the idea that all believers might attain to the fullness of Christ. Amen. Turn to that, everyone, for a minute. Amen. That is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Here, the apostle outlays the essence of what the church and the divers offices and gifts have been given to the church for, granted to the local assembly for.
Right.
Verse 11, he said, and he gave some apostles. Amen. And he gave some, what? Prophets. And he gave some, what?
Evangelists.
And he gave some, what? Pastors and teachers. Don't separate those. Pastors and teachers. Amen. And he did it for what? For the equipping of the saints. Amen. For the, now, what kind of equipment is it? Again, selling knowledge. Amen. Oh, my God. We are being equipped now as we receive the information. It is the indicative. It is the fact of who he is. Amen. That equips us this morning. You all don't hear me. Verse 13, read that.
Ephesians 4:13.
Mm-hmm.
Till we all come into in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
All right. Now, Brother Deacon, do you have your Greek book? All right. Go. Let's. Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. So that we can get into the essence of the intended cogitation there. All right? But you can read that.
Again, Ephesians 4:13.
Mm-hmm.
Until we arrive all at the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at man a complete.
A complete? What?
At the measure.
Don't leave out the, don't leave out the best part.
At the measure.
Uh-huh.
Of the of stature of the fullness of Christ.
The fullness of Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See the word complete. See the word teleon. Amen. Which is rendered here complete.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear, you see the Greek word we have been talking about. Of course, in its another declension here, it is pleromatos. Pleromatos.
Mm-hmm.
Pleromatos. Amen. Okay. Fullness. Stature. Amen. We speak of metron, the Greek word here for measure. We're talking about, when you start talking about fullness and completeness, you don't get complete or full until you get to Christ.
Thank you.
This is why, you know, what we do is we identify with who we are.
That's right.
In Christ.
That's right.
By identifying with the fullness of the measure of Christ. Doesn't mean that we're full. No, look at my hands. My hands are new. My feet don't. Now, I'm the same. If you had corn on those toes, that didn't disappear when you got saved. Your bunions, that's still there?
Yeah.
Huh? You got calluses on your head? That's still there? Yeah. And not only that, those hands can do some of the same things they did.
Now,
what we said is the purpose for this is to say it's all right? No. Corroboration. John, when he's writing to, in 1 John, he said, my little children, I write these things unto you that you don't sin.
Right.
The teaching of grace is not for the purpose of, quote, giving you a license. You don't need a license.
No.
Just breathe.
Amen.
But we do want to have a working knowledge of what growth and development in God actually entail. The new man, as we said, is not all man reformed.
No way.
So no expression of the flesh can be representative of the full measure of Christ.
No way. Hallelujah.
But here's what we take confidence in.
Woo. Come on with it. Come on with it.
The new nature, the new creation of the new man that is created in Christ Jesus in eternity and placed in the body of Christ, he has the nature of God. And there's nothing wrong with him. And he can't see it.
No.
Not the new man.
No.
You could have fooled me. You know, I thought I was full of the Holy Ghost, and I laid so-and-so out. No. That wasn't the new man that laid him out. That was the old man. You know that wasn't Christ. That was Adam.
Yeah.
But the problem is, we get the old man mixed up with the new man.
There you go. Amen.
And when Paul speaks about renewing, he's talking about renewing of the mind. Of having through the mind identifying with the new creation of the new man who is in Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Because God has a termination plan for Adam.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Huh?
Indeed.
We're going to all get rid of Adam.
Indeed.
But don't you ever think he's gone somewhere, he's gone anywhere. Or you think the old man. You have to understand this.
That's true.
Yes.
Amen.
And then if the legalists
have
gone way down the road with a bunch of do's and don'ts. And of course there are things that we should not do. You as a child of God should not do it. But you've got to get the indignity before you get to the imperative.
Thank you, Jesus.
I said this Friday night, I'll repeat it again.
Come on.
You get much more mileage out of grace than you will out of law. Get much more mileage out of grace teaching and grace knowledge than you will get out of legalistic conditional training. I'm telling you what you better not do. Amen. That lesson is documented in the Old Testament. How many times did God threaten Israel? Did it ever stop them?
No.
So our gospel does not appeal to the flesh. It appeals to the spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. To him and me. That's who you really are.
Really are. That's right.
And this is why here it speaks fullness of Christ. So in that 13th verse, are you following me here? Say, until we arrive. Now, if we were there, would he be saying until we arrive? There are some prelates and bishops and whatever. The Lord and over people this morning, giving them the impression that they have arrived. And I saw a sign a long time ago that said, he who thinks that he has arrived has just begun to slip. I'll alter that a little bit. Say, amen, he ain't never been there.
Oh, that's true. So true.
No.
So true.
Until we arrive. Until we arrive. Amen. Christ is the goal.
Yeah.
The knowledge of Christ is the goal.
Yeah.
The understanding of Christ is the goal.
Yeah.
Amen. The comprehension of the knowledge. And this is why we spend so much time in the indignity.
Mm-hmm.
till we arrive. Mm-hmm. All at the unity. Mm-hmm. Remember in this same chapter, verse 3, Paul speaks about endeavoring basically to keep the unity of the Spirit. You notice the genitive there of pneumatos, the Spirit belongs to unity. Unity belongs to the Spirit. There's only one way to unify, and then in the Spirit, and that is to know and to understand who we are in the essence of Christ. So Paul is saying unity comes in understanding and coming to realization of who you are in Christ. Amen. For those who are in Christ are in the body of Christ and members of the body of Christ, they're unified.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There are no denominations.
No.
Body of Christ, there is no Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterian. Amen. There is no Pentecostal. There is no quote non-denomination. Amen. Because you can make a non-denomination a denomination if you are careful. The essence of our congregational settings in time there for the express purpose of manifesting and giving testimony to those who are members of the body of Christ. But the true testimony lies in the fact of who the head is.
That's right.
So the unity is in Christ. All right? So we are the full knowledge. Here we have the Greek word epinosis, which is complete knowledge, full knowledge. Amen. Remember, we're in the third chapter, verse 19. There was a superlative that was used there, amen, that said excelling knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So here, a big premium is placed upon knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Men in the congregational preaching and so-called teaching this morning is not about knowledge. It's about entertainment.
That's right.
It's about good singing, and we love good singing.
Yeah.
But if I had to forfeit either good singing or good teaching, then let's forfeit good singing and have good teaching.
Preach it, Christ.
Because there's some out there waiting on you.
That's right.
There's something out there waiting on you.
Yeah.
And the knowledge of God, amen, is that which equips us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So here again, in that 13th verse, the express desire that all believers might obtain to the fullness of Christ. And so when you say the fullness of Christ, not speaking of the knowledge of him for the purpose of identifying with him. That's what he's saying. That's the purpose of knowing who you are so you can identify. Amen. And remember now, every body member, that no body member of his own has an identification. It's an arm, but this arm, your arm doesn't have a name. Huh? But when you If I say, Brother Tim,
mm-hmm.
I want to recognize Brother Tim, where am I going to look?
Mm-hmm.
His head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to look down at his feet.
Yeah.
Try to remember the characteristics of his feet. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, when we say body member, we look at the head. This is why, amen, we say it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. No such thing as what subject we're talking about this morning. We're not talking about Jesus. We're wasting time. Amen. All about him.
All about him.
Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid of anybody that you're tired of hearing about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. Then, lastly, give me about 10 minutes here.
Come on, come on.
Amen. I almost knew I was going to get through one verse today, but that's okay. In the Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, let's turn to that. I'm like, ooh, this is like a Bible class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Colossians 2:19 states that all the fullness, not 2:19, I'm sorry, 2. Of the Godhead, a deity dwells in him bodily. Read that, Brother Deacon. Everybody got to say amen.
Colossians 2:9. For in him.
And you know, it starts out with a subordinating conjunction. OT. Anytime you have a subordinating conjunction, what does it mean?
It's dependent on.
Go up two verses and pull something down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Verse 60 says, you'll receive him, walk in him, rooted, build up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught.
Mm-hmm.
See, teaching, knowledge, teaching, knowledge,
right.
Knowledge, teaching.
Right.
I mean, you know what? I make no apologies for the format
Come on.
Of teaching when I'm preaching.
That's right.
So where you're teaching, you're not preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then let's receive the teaching. I mean, as we have studied in the perfection class concerning perennesis, exaltation, and how ministering is done versus the way it should be in exaltation, and how the things are being outlaid and spoken, and going into a passage, grabbing one verse, a part of a verse, giving it a topic, and running on down the road. And don't know what in the world you're talking about. And of course, if you make, put a little story with it, tell a few jokes, get everybody laughing, start talking about something that we're familiar with, some everyday event, everyday situation that everybody can understand, get everybody's attention, walk away and say, woo, he really preached today. You see, you don't need to come to church, not really, to receive the information on the horizontal plane. There are many, follow me now, there are many forums for that out there. To talk about the things that are around us. And that's what much of the ministry is about. The things that are five ways how to do something. You'll never get that here. Because now you're going into opinions. And opinions are worthless. Opinions are worthless. So where this is the way to do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you do this, you arrive to that. And then you get out there and you do that, it didn't work. And you say, well, where did I do this? Well, you didn't do it right. Go back and do it again. No. Knowledge. Understanding. Of what? Of the eternal workings of God. of what God planned, purpose, will, and placed in the creed in eternity. If you want to really want to follow what's going on now, amen, don't stand on the horizontal plane looking around at it, amen, because there may be something in front of something else that's blocking out, amen, and distorting it. But you should go up into the vertical plane and you take a bird's eye, a panoramic view. You can see from the vantage point of God from eternity, amen, and you'll see the essence of God working out all things in time.
Yeah, glory, yeah.
This is what you must carry with you. Because there's something waiting out there to disappoint you, to hurt you, to frighten you. But if we can see them all as decrees being manifested, Paul on one occasion said, in nothing being terrified by your adversary. Paul, how can you say that? Here's a man who was beat with 40 stripes, save one, night and a day in the deep, taken outside of Lystra, stone, left for dead. Perils of waters, perils of countrymen, amen. He tasted everything that you can taste as far as the vicissitudes of life. Every adversity you can think of, amen. But he was always, amen, looking at it from the eternal, everlasting vantage points of those things that God had planned for his life. Amen. If you ever get to the place of understanding everything that happened to you, it is the plan and the will of God and purpose that he's working out in your life. If you understand that, then when these things come, they won't fail you. This is why we must focus on the head. Read that. Give me about 3 or 4 minutes and I'll be down. Read that.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God. That's the King James. Now read it from the Greek. I'll keep the Greek book right next to you for now. Okay? All right. Amen. Amen. That is the ninth verse.
Because in him dwells.
Because in him dwells what?
All the fullness of the Godhead.
Of the Godhead
bodily.
All. What does all mean there?
All
means all. And so as we look at this verse 19 and as I close, the focus is on the statement, all the fullness dwells in Christ. It is striking that in all the references that we have given you, scripture, the Greek noun, pleroma, no matter what its declension might have been, of rendered fullness is really a common denominator in all of these passages. And as such, it implies an inscrutably amalgamated bond between all the operational and functional components of the Godhead, the church, and the believer as positioned in the church. I think I repeat that. Pleroma, in all of these passages, implies an inscrutably, that is, can't be untangled or untied, you can't tell one end from the other, an inscrutably amalgamated, that's the blended, bond between all the operational
and functional components of the Godhead, the church, of which we are, as believers, positioned in the church. There is confident assurance in the fact, as I go to my seat, there is confident assurance in the fact that those members of the body of Christ, which tells the fullness of the Godhead, if we have demonstrated it through the testimony, there is an intimate relationship that exceeds even one's wildest imagination. It is in this light that one can immensely appreciate this highly privileged relationship with Christ and are motivated viewing Christ as first supreme, preeminent in one's daily life. Amen. Here we give a reference of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. We're not going to move on to verse 20 next week. But why are we taking time? Why are we talking about this, which that some people would look at and call boring? Well, you know, there are a lot of things that happened this week. You know, you still got several million people that are homeless from the tsunami. We've got in this country, on the west coast of California, mudslides and people ill. And there's concern on the political spectrum here, I guess, buoyed by supposedly the mandate that George Bush got. I don't know where he got it from, but anyway, he got a mandate. Amen. And he feels filling his oats. They're talking about they might even attack Iran now. All of this is going on. Why are we talking about that this morning? Why that in spite of what's going on during the week, we come here and we still focus on this body?
That's right.
Why? Why are we talking, amen, and worrying about, amen, who's going to get appointed to the federal courts? Who's, amen, may end up in the Supreme Court to the scale? Why are we this morning talking about the dollar continue to slip? Amen. And the euro is getting stronger. And the smart people in America are investing their money in the euro now. And the rich people get rid of the dollars. Why are we sitting here talking about all of these things this morning? Aren't they important? They're important up to a point. Amen. You see, that which deals with time is in the manifestation mode of what is going on. But that's not what the real action is. The real action is not in manifestation. The real action is in actuation. And what is actualized is in the eternal stream. And so, while we are good citizens and we read, we listen to the news and either by the television or the radio, or we go online like I do and get selected news articles I look at, to inform, amen, is what's going on around me. We're informed, but we're not petrified. We're informed, but we're not mesmerized. We're informed, but we're not captivated. Because our hope is not in the things that are around us. Our hope is not in the office of City Hall, or the State House, or the White House, or even in our house. Y'all don't hear me this morning. I hope. Honest expectation is not, amen, is what is going on now. Our ultimate hope is not in the physical scene. Our hope is not, amen, in the world that we live in now, amen, gives not the power to teach you that your citizenship is not this world. Amen. Our hope is in Christ, in the head. Oh Christ, can you say, oh Christ? Can you say, oh Christ? Oh Christ, the Son of God, I stand. All other God is sacred things.